NFR Extra is a weekly podcast that focuses on the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo and features icons that embody the rodeo and Western lifestyle. And now here are your hosts, Nevada Caldwell and Rockin' Robbie Hodges.
Here we are, NFR Extra Podcast, all dirt, all rodeo, all year. And this is January, so we're definitely starting off right.
Yeah, it's going to be a great year too, man. Lots of good stuff happening. We're going to do some really cool stuff this year that, you know, last year I didn't think it could get any better. You know, y'all allowed me to come in halfway, and I've sure enjoyed myself. And these guys that we're getting to interview and girls, it is amazing. And,
yes, it is.
And just get to hear their side of stuff, you know, that you don't hear passing in the rodeo arena where I see them every week. So, hey, how you doing? Good job.
Yep.
You know, we're getting a divvy on in there.
And this is our first episode coming back from 2020. And, you know, we lined up once again. Hopefully you loved with what we were doing in 2019.
Because we're
continuing this. It's not a tradition, but just this podcast all through the year. And here we lined up some pretty good heavy hitters starting off the year.
Yeah, let's go to the top of the potato. You want to right here?
Yeah, I love that.
Every time, right here.
Yes. You know, we started off with, and now we get to say six-time world champ.
Every time world champion.
Yeah, that's true. Sage Kimsey.
Yes, what a great guy. You know, we're going to divvy off into his future.
Yep.
You know, what it's like when he's, you know, he's closing in. Mm-hmm. He's closing in on the GOAT.
And there's a couple of things he talks about that's most important to him this year. Has nothing to do with rodeo.
Yes, and you're going to get to hear a lot about that and you know, where he's getting his ready-made family just to add money.
Yep.
So that's a good episode, isn't it?
Oh, and we reflect a little bit on his run.
Sure.
We talk about that Thursday night when bull riding just went bananas, which was fun for everybody.
Absolutely.
Clearly for him.
Yeah. And he's kid-friendly, too, and you'll understand why.
No doubt
about
it.
My kids and your kids and everybody, you know, I think you're really going to see a side of him. And
what about our other guests? Like, this is nice little surprise guest we brought on.
Cute little redhead.
Yep.
She's Emily Miller.
Collected some dough during the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo in 2019.
Can you imagine in her 9 years old running barrels in her little arena thinking about, I'm going to go into the Wrangler National Finals and win my first round that I've ever been there at? You know, what an experience. What a humble lady, too. I mean,
very much so.
Everything was about the horse. You ever notice that?
Well, and here's the thing I remember about her, right? And then we talk about this a lot in this conversation.
Yeah.
I remember her name popping up a lot during that run NFR. And you'd hear Emily Miller. She's always right there, right behind Haley. You know, and I have a feeling, you know, as you listen to this conversation, you hear how confident it is and everything that she has got going on, and definitely her 2020. I don't think we've heard the last of Emily Miller.
Nah, I'm going to say not. And I hope not, because what a class act girl.
Yeah, it is. Well, here we go.
Take
enjoy this episode.
That's right.
This is Brightlands Bull, the rodeo news of the week.
PRCA stat of the week. The expected total combined payout, $1,018,302 for the Southwestern Exposition and Livestock Show. Division 1 Extreme Bulls in Fort Worth, Texas, $61,000, January 21st and 22nd. And the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo, $956,000+, which began January 24th and concludes February 8th. Mason Clements scored big early in the 2020 National Western Stock Show and Rodeo in Denver, with an 89.5 ride on the Servi Brothers Gander Goose in the final round. Bull rider Clayton Seller, who made his Wrangler NFR debut in 2019, will be out of action for the extended period. After tearing his ACL and MCL in his left knee, our team is wishing him a solid recovery and fast return. And a huge congratulations to our 2019 world champion, Stetson Wright, all around, Clayton Bigelow, bareback, Ty Erickson, steer wrestling, team roping world champions, Clay Smith, header, and Wesley Thorpe, healer. Zeke Thurston, saddle bronc, Haven Magid, tie down, Haley Kinzel, Lockwood, barrel racing, Sage Kimsey, bull riding. Can't wait to see what 2020 has in store. It's rodeo time.
Wherever you listen to the NFR Extra Podcast, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Play, or even YouTube, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And let us know what you think of this episode or any episode by leaving a comment. First guest of 2020. And it makes sense.
I know. I wish we could have got a little more famous one.
Yeah, right.
This is a little tough.
We're coming out of the gate swinging with this one. We have 6-time world bull riding champ, the man who is raising the bar just every single year with just about everything from rodeo to lifestyle to sponsorship, social media king. There's a lot of things we could add to this. Welcome to the show, Sage Kimsey.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You know, I don't think we should say 6-time. I think we should say every time. And because he is. He's every time that he's ever nodded his head at the NFR, he's left there with a gold buckle. That's a record.
He collects a lot of big checks at the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. That is for sure.
Absolutely.
So, Sage, obviously, we're rewinding back to 2019. How's it feel coming home with that coveted gold buckle? You've done it before, but this was six times in a row.
Oh, man, it's crazy. Everybody, you always get asked that question, and I don't feel like there's ever really a good way to answer it because it's just hard to put into words. I mean, really, it's, imagine, you know, the 4-year-old, 5-year-old kid in you dreaming up this big, elaborate dream. Most people would just tell you to quit dreaming something like that, you know, and to the fact that I'm actually out here, you know, getting to live that is pretty special.
So we're going to get down to the nitty gritty, man, because this was one rodeo to remember for sure. I got mine with you. I got my favorite moment for that run.
I bet I know.
I'm not even going to say it because a lot of fans probably say it. He may have a different one. What was one of your, obviously there was many moments, but what was one of the favorite moments that stick out in your head for that run that you just got done doing in 2019?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously the glaring one would be the 94 on Bruiser. Me with the matchup with that bull's been, an extremely long time coming, and that was one of the best nights of bull riding, that's happened inside the Thomas and Mack, and to be a part of that, to get on that animal, it was just, it's storybook stuff for sure.
So Sage, why Bruiser? What? Because clearly that was something that you were looking at, there was something about that, about Bruiser riding that. What was so important about Bruiser, you riding Bruiser?
I have a crazy spot in my heart for that bull. It's hard for me to say, and it's hard to, most people that aren't around livestock would probably think it's a little crazy, but, I really do love that animal. He's a multi-time bull of the year, one of the greatest bucking bulls of all time. And then like his demeanor in the back pens, he's a huge pet. He's just like a dog. He walks up to the fence, lets you scratch on him, love on him. It's just hard. Like, to somebody that hasn't been around these rodeo athletes, these bulls, they probably just think that they're crazy and deranged and, this, that, and the other. And it's like, man, you see Bruiser and in the back pens, like I said, he's just like everybody else's golden retriever, except he weighs 1,800 pounds.
That is such the naysay of that, because everybody's like, oh, these animals, they just get on them and they're, he's the golden retriever. He's back there in the back. Hey, I got to ask you, was it hard riding him with that laser sheen on him? Because I heard they put laser sheen on him and clean him and wash him about every day, too. Made him a little slick there about three and a half seconds.
They legitimately give the bull baths.
Really?
Yeah.
What farm animal gets a bath? You know what I mean?
Bullet, but that's about it.
Do they condition there? Is it shampoo and condition? Oh, really?
Yeah, and sheen, and that's what makes him slick. So, you'll notice about the third or fourth, fifth jump there, Sage kind of got sheened, but he got him back down. He got back in the middle.
So, okay, wait. So you're saying that, and this is me playing kind of like, I don't know, right? So just like in boxing, here we go, analogies, sports. They put the Vaseline on, right, so that the gloves flies off. Does that same thing happen with bull riding? Kind of, no, a little bit?
I don't think it happens that often, for sure. It has kind of been an inside joke running with Bruiser, just because he's the only bull anybody's ever seen actually get a bath before competition.
And do you know when he jumps so high, you can see it because of the what is it, they put the hoof black on his feet before he goes, too. He looks like a show animal.
He's jumping out.
My God, he don't ride like one, though, does he?
No, he does.
So, you're on a run right now, and we've asked this quite a few folks that have won multiple championships, Sage. How is it different, what number six opposed to number one? What was the difference as you coming into the NFR back when, you know, I remember meeting you. You're a young guy. You weren't even 21 yet. You couldn't even come into the parties, right? You couldn't even go to NFR after parties. How was that, not even what your age was, but mindset-wise to where you are now? Where, how long have you, how have you evolved as this mindset of a champion?
Oh, I think it's, yeah, it, I couldn't be farther from the man and competitor than what I was the first year I went out there. I mean, first year you go out there, right? Like, obviously I knew I was good. I was going in number one. You know, looking down the list of bulls, I'd ridden a bunch of them and thrown me off. Like, it was just pretty typical rodeo stuff, right? And once you get out there, though, there's this rush of emotions. It's like, you know, you're super happy that your dreams are coming true and you just qualified for your first NFR. And I mean, all of this stuff's happening. There's a lot of stuff going on in Vegas during the NFR, as you well know. And it's kind of chaos. And you really, like, coming from a rodeo background, I kind of knew what to expect. And I'd been out to the finals before and this, that, the other. But, like, at the end of the day, you really don't know how everything's going to go. There's just a lot of questions that are really just left unanswered before you actually get out there. I mean, the competition thing is one of the easier parts that we do during the NFR. I mean, our schedules are super busy. We've got stuff going on all the time. You know, heaven forbid that you get banged up and hurt out there, because, I mean, it can be a long, long 2 weeks in Las Vegas. But yeah, I mean, the first year was literally just kind of a whirlwind that just organically happened. I don't know that I really knew how to prepare. I got all my teeth knocked out the middle of October.
Whoa.
Actually had to get braces on to straighten my teeth back out to where they could fix them.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. You didn't sound like it all year. You didn't sound like you had braces, man.
You talked fine when I saw you.
Yeah, so I lost about 15 pounds, like, right before my first NFR. Hadn't been on a whole lot of bulls. Went over and got on a few practice bulls. They threw me off, and then got on one and got him rode, and then it was just like, okay, well, it's NFR time, so get ready.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I looked up there, and there was just a lot of questions that were unanswered, and my preparation probably wasn't the greatest, but then, you know, you walk out there, about 8 out of 10, win the average, win the top gun, and, you know, the questions aren't there anymore, obviously. But you know, like this year, I knew what to expect, I guess, is like the biggest thing is the older you get, the more experience you get, the less surprises there are. And I mean, I think in sports, especially one with so many variables as it stands, you know, if there's a little less unknown and a little less doubt, then that's never a bad thing.
I see. Oh. I gotta ask you this, I've known you since you were 8 years old, but I have a one in my mind that stands out, but I want to know yours. That first year, when was it that you said, you know what, I have a chance to be a world champion here, you know, because you were a rookie. I know, and it was all going so fast. You never acted like it to me. But at what point in that year, because I have a place, and I was wondering if it was close to where yours was. I'll let you go first. But when did you say, you know what, I got a chance to win this thing? Because, I mean, at what point during the year did you say, hey, I got a shot?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like, for me, it happened really early in my rookie year. And San Antonio would be a place that sticks out in my mind because, yeah, I mean, as a rookie, you know, I set the permit holding record. Come into my rookie year, had great qualifications. I was going to get into all the rodeos. And, I mean, that was the thing. It was like, all right, got to get qualified for the NFR, like, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, had a great winter run and then turned around and won the Extreme Bulls and the rodeo at San Antonio. And I was already at like 62,000. And this is the end of February.
Oh, wow.
So obviously, I mean, that kind of changes the goals and the end game and everything. I mean, you kind of got to sit down and reevaluate where your life's headed. I mean, it was the path that I wanted, but it definitely fast-tracked it a lot. And, yeah, I mean, for me, I did. I had to sit down and really redo my goals because, I mean, that was the thing. I don't think anybody was, you know, within 20,000 of me after San Antonio. And it was like, okay, well, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a young kid at this point.
Yeah, you were.
The world of professional rodeo. And it was like, okay, well, I mean, you're here, you're number one. Try to find a plan to go dominate.
Yeah.
I got to say that
I got something after this.
When I
NASCAR.
When I saw that you were fixing to kick their ass the first time, to be honest with you, was, remember, I was working the barrel at Lawton, and you were 94 on some bull that jumped, and I honestly thought he was going to jump in my barrel with me. and I was really close, and I was a little too close, and I remember you riding right there by it. Do you remember that bull? It was Lawton. I know that. I can't remember the bull's name. And I said right there, this guy's going to be a world champion. He's going to be the greatest that ever lived. And I just knew it, you know, and we just visited. What bull was that? Do you remember?
Magic Train. He came from Pages, and actually, I rode that bull. Yeah, the 1st of August, and they sold that bull for like $200,000. Right about now would have been the time of year. So, you know, 4 months after that, and that'll definitely make a 19-year-old kid feel pretty good about himself.
You know, going right. When I'm telling you, MB, and B, it was as high. I really thought the front feet were going in my barrel. Of course, you remember it, Sage, but when we got through, I came over there and went around there to the right to the big gate, and I said, I thought you were going to end up in there with me. And I was backpedaling as fast as I could to get out of his dang way.
So let's go back to that real quick, and I want to touch on some money that you earned in 2019. We'll come back to that because you got a trunk full of cash. But if you go back to when you're talking about, you know, that run, and obviously you're seeing yourself – way early on in the year, what are we talking about? 2014, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So were you pulling like a, I just think it's always fascinating. I'm not a NASCAR guy, but I love the movie Days of Thunder. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And in there, Cole Trickle is racing, right? This is where him and Harry finally come together and they're working together. But he's racing and Harry's like, slow down, you're burning the tires, Cole. And he's like, Harry, I'm not going any faster than I started. I'm just going the same speed. And what he realized was that his consistency was now outpacing everybody to where he didn't need to put himself inside out to be champion or be in front. Is that something that you've learned now where your consistency and your pacing of riding gets you to the NFR? Is that kind of how that works, Sage?
Oh, I think so. And I mean, there's definitely certain things that, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It really is, because like on one hand, you know, you need to take the blade to the stone and keep the blade sharp. But on the other end, you know, there's only so much stuff you can cut with that blade until it wears out and needs to be resharpened. In a sport that doesn't really have a defined off season, you know, we have to do that for ourselves. And it's very difficult, especially when you're talking about, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids straight out of high school. You know, I mean, just
good point.
Full of vinegar and ready to go, you know, make their mark world of rodeo. It's very hard to get those kids to kind of slow down a little bit and kind of realize the big picture. And I mean, I was no different in that. I mean, I'd go get on every bull at every 1,000 added rodeo, and I mean, about kill myself. You know, and really, it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, you can if you want to, but I probably go to just as many rodeos as about anybody else. And my number for me, my magical number is anywhere from like 105 to 115. I think any more than that, and it's too much on my body. And then any less than that, and I don't feel like, I mean, at the end of the day, it is my job, and you got to get up and go to work.
It's like man hours.
Young bull riders take notes.
Yes, and that's what always – Blue and I – Blue Jean's one of my best friends in the world, and we always talk about Sage because, you know, he watched – of course, he watched, you know, him grow up and stuff. And I think that's a lot of your healthiness is the way that you decided that you were going to pick and choose a little bit more, you know. And which leads me into my next thing that just drives me up the wall is this comparison between the PBR and the I'm the biggest advocate, and Blue will actually send Sage my comments to some of these guys on here that think they're couch riders, you know, and they're like, well, Sage can't ride this one. Sage can't. You've seen them, hadn't you, buddy? And, you know, and I'm always on there. Well, you know, last time I checked, I didn't ask Sage how he's doing. He's driving around in his Corvette, you know, that he bought with cash. And you know, we're so proud, and it just wears me out, these people that – you're doing exactly, and I know the goal that you have, and we all know that goal of breaking that record. And there's one of the biggest fans in the world of Sage Kimsey owns that record.
Yeah.
And that's the GOAT, you know, Donnie. And we talked about this, and I think what it's done with Donnie, and I want you to elaborate on this a little bit, but I think it's brought the spotlight back to Donnie Gay. We all know Donnie loves the spotlight, and that's what made him a champion, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Because it ain't bragging if you really done it, and if you don't believe him, ask him.
But elaborate on that and how he's been with you, you know, and stuff, you know, and rooting you on, or is he kind of messing with you? Tell us about it.
Some sheen on the bull so you don't stay on.
Yeah, he's out there. He can't reach the top of him. Don't you tell him I said that.
Yeah, no, I mean, Donnie's been nothing short of amazing, honestly. He's just, I don't know, and I think, like, looking at most just sports in general, like, anybody that is really, like, on, like, the highest mountain peak that there is in whatever discipline it is, like, there's not a whole lot of jealousy and bitterness in that one's heart, right? Because, like, at the end of the day, if anybody goes and wins 9 world titles in any event, like, hats off to you, right? Because it's not an easy task by no stretch of the imagination. And I think, like, that's the point where Donnie said is, like, hey, if somebody wants to come in and do that to themselves mentally, emotionally, everything, just I think Donnie's 100% at peace with that, just because he knows how difficult you know, getting his 8 was. He's been great, and I think that was one of the really big things for me. I mean, just like growing as a person, competitor, is like when Donnie was down in the locker room with us doing the telecast for the CBS Sports telecast, he was always down in the locker room, and you know, it would be an hour and a half to 2 hours every night of just Donnie Gay unfiltered, in a locker room full of, you know, really good bull riders.
Wow. Is that hard?
Just getting to talk, you know, what he loves, right? And I think that's one of the biggest things for me is that I love listening and all conversations. And I mean, there's a lot of them that, you know, you don't get anything out of, but then there's a lot of them. I mean, just little subtle things that Donnie would say throughout the 10 nights, you know, that, you know, I would pick up on and kind of learn from, gain from that. And then, I mean, obviously the guy has the mindset to go be great at anything that he's doing, and being around somebody like that, just in general, whether they're bull riders or not, I mean, just great people to be around. Just the energy you get off Donnie Gay is different than you get from most people.
What a fine testament to that, though. Yeah. And that just shows the respect. And one more thing about that, and then we'll move on. But there is this picture, and I guess I don't remember if you and I have talked to it, but me and Donnie have a lot. There's a picture of him and Jim Shoulders Bull Miller Lite. You remember Miller Lite that he used to? And Donnie is shooting pool off of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know that picture. Okay. Yep. So here's how this is going to work out. And we're going to get this somehow. We're going to get the bull, probably Rufus, whatever his name is, from Frontier. He's got one that you can ride. And we want to reenact that picture with Donnie holding him and you shooting pool. Wouldn't that be so cool, Sage, to have that on your wall?
That would be hilarious.
Right next to the Jim Shoulders and them. You know, and back to the thing about if he couldn't ride these, it's so funny when you hear this, and then it won't be too, you know, well, Sage just don't want, if he really wants to show
real
us
champions go through this.
Yeah, if he really wants to show us, he'll go over and ride them PBR bulls every week and everything, and then the next thing you know, he's riding Pearl Harbor, or he's on the Global Cup, save the Global Cup, you know. That's why it just irks me when these couch guys do that.
And Sage shows up when he needs to.
You know what? Winning.
Yeah.
You know, they used to say that, well, Donnie Gay, you know, everybody wants, let little Donnie, he's this. But winning supersedes all that.
Yeah, but you know what I think happens? Then the way, and Sage, it's just kind of touching on this, and we want to talk about your Vegas trip back in December, but, you know, you make it look easy, and I say that just by watching you, you know, like, and I've learned this watching you run, ride, and then others, and kind of actually Stetson broke this down for us over the summer when we were we had little Mr. Wright when he was kind of bursting on the scene. We brought him on and we were talking about techniques and all this thing. And at the same time, we were talking to you over the summer, and you had said something about your riding style is not all that exciting, right? And you know, you brought that up to Stetson, and he goes, "Oh yeah," he goes, "No, that's he's at his core. He's there. You ain't gonna know flaring around." I mean, Stetson already knew your style, watched you enough, knew, you know. He had been studying you, basically. And it was interesting to kind of do, you know, that talk, because then we got on that talk with Donnie. And I think what happens is because you're so consistent, because of the way you do it, and you're not advertising anything when you're riding. It's like, I'm here for 8 seconds. That's it. I'm not here to put on a show. I'm here to win. And by doing that, what you've done is created this consistency of winning big checks, gold buckles. And a lot of people can't wrap their mind around, well, why isn't he doing all these other things, right? Why aren't you flaring all over the place? You know, like it's you have such a style that I think most champions kind of emulate. And when you win a lot, not just one time, I'm talking the ones that won a lot, like right. The Tom Brady's of that, you know, there's an Aaron, you do that, Sage. And because of that, I want to touch on this. Your NFR earnings, correct me if I'm wrong, this past one was a new record, $235,359. That is a lot of money in 10 days.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for sure. Yeah. It's hard to wrap my head around. I mean, honestly, because I'm not going to say that I would ride bulls for nothing because I don't, I mean, I definitely wouldn't. But yeah, I mean, a great viable career choice for young kids. And I mean, that's the thing. It's money that transcends into different brackets of people that rodeo has really been exposed to, you know, up to this point. Because, I mean, yeah, back in the day, you know, you had your ranch kids, you had your farm kids, the occasional guy that, you know, wanted to get on a bull and here we go. But it's like, now, honestly, rodeo truly isn't like a viable career option. I mean, obviously athletics is one thing. The only thing that kind of hinders that is like rodeo is expensive to start out at, but it's great seeing, you know, how much I can win. And I mean, yeah, I mean, what a time to be alive. It's just a great time to be a rodeo athlete in general. There's just a lot of avenues for us to make money. And,
you know, yeah, they say that. Thankful. That 230, I'm looking at the number right now, $235,359. What does it say about a wedding ring? It should be 2 months of your salary.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple rules for it. One of them is, yeah, a couple months of salary or the cost of your car.
Uh-oh, Chris is going to be mad.
Hold up, though, but Cowboys and your guys' cars aren't just cars. Like, a truck is a serious expenditure.
Okay. Alexis should be happy about that. All right, back to the NFR and the stuff. We were talking about this at the autograph sessions this year. You know, you have your brother there and of course, him being the rook. What are some of the – a lot of folks always talk about this. What are some of the rookie rules and that you can talk about on this? Well, hell, you can talk about what you want to. It's a podcast, Sage, but tell us a little bit about the rookie situation down in there and give us a couple examples of some stuff that y'all like to pull. Cause I know they did it with me out down there too, you know, even in the barrel. And, but what do y'all do?
Oh yeah. I mean, the rookies really get off pretty easy for the most part, but, 2 years ago, I think, I can't remember who was done. I'm not positive who was telling us about it. I guess they used to have rookie bets back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
To see, like, you know, how you competed was if you're going to do this bet or not. So we got to talking about it, I guess, last year would have been, like, 2018 would have been the first year that we brought it back, and that was we made all the rookies, depending on how they did the first round, they had a certain bet that, like, if they stayed on, they didn't have to do the bet, but if they got bucked off, they had to do a bet. And they ranged from anything, I can't remember, one of them was definitely a shaved head.
Oh, nice. Yeah, and then the pink
wore the crown for that one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then the pink, wasn't it a pink wild rag, or one of them had to do something crazy?
Oh yeah, wear a pink helmet at the grand entry.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, the little prince, my little ponies. What it was?
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah.
So we brought that back. It's just
well, that all changed after the Cody Whitney days, didn't it? So
yeah, I don't know that it added any pressure to all the rookies, just because I mean you're at the NFR. There's enough pressure as it is.
Yeah,
but it does add a little fun thing to the locker room, and I think honestly, it sounds stupid, but like all those little pranks and jokes that we pull, like it makes us closer as a group.
Yeah,
so absolutely. And it knocks that edge off, doesn't it? Just so, but the two Codys, Cody Rostocki and Cody Emerson, were the. I mean, Cody Rostocki and Cody Whitney were the two kings of trickery and tomfoolery. Nice.
For sure.
So speaking of that, there was a certain rookie, right, that was competing with you. How did it feel, Sage, hanging out with your bro, man? How was that? All of a sudden, now you got family up there competing and trying to get a check and a gold buckle.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. And Trey will be the first one to tell you, you know, he probably didn't have the NFR that he was dreaming about. But, I mean, still went out there and had a great experience and, you know, had a good time and had some success, too. But, yeah, it was different, right? I mean, back to the whole, like, not knowing what to expect thing. It's like that was something that I really didn't have a whole lot of experience with, was Trey being out there. But, I mean, really, like, it was just all a positive with Trey making it because, you know, he would be there on my shoot to help me every night. And it's just, it all kind of just stems back to the same thing we've been talking about. I mean, there's a bunch of variables in the sport, right? Like, the people helping you don't have to be one of those. Trey pulled my rope probably 100 times last year. So, I mean, he knows exactly how I like it, what I want, this, that, and the other. You know, there's a certain place that you get super comfortable, you know, with people being around you that, like, I don't have to tell Trey what to do. Like, he knows exactly what to do for me, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing. And, I mean, it was pretty special. I don't know when the last year a set of brothers made it to Bull Ride. I know it's been a long time, but it was pretty cool to see that. And,
right.
Especially just getting to travel with Trey last year.
Oh, I bet he enjoyed that. What did you tell him after he rode his first bull there that finally broke that ice? What was it you said to him?
Man, I just told him good job, really. Like, that's the thing. Everybody freaks out about the NFR and doing good at the NFR. And, I mean, there's a lot of, like, added pressure from the outside world that really, like, they just don't, they're not, like, 100% knowledgeable about, like, what goes into everything, right? Because, like, most guys in the NFR are riding bulls at between 30 and 50%, like, at a max. Mm. Well, you have the best bulls in the world at the NFR versus the best guys. Like, that percentage is probably going to go down a little bit from there. There's going to be some guys overperform. There's going to be some guys underperform. But, like, at the end of the day, the stats tell you pretty much exactly how the NFR is going to go. Just stats and sports or anything that just kind of came out in the past probably, 5 years that everybody really started looking hard at analytics. And I think for me, bull riding is no different for me because it's just like, hey, like, these are the statistics, right? Like, this is how people are supposed to perform. And I think a lot of people, and I mean, you know, fans, family, friends, all of these people, they really don't, like, know how the NFR affects people, right? Because it is. It's the highest, most high-pressure situation that we're ever going to be at in our competitive lives. And it's very hard for, back to the young kid thing, like, it's very hard for a young kid to come in here and be able to master all these emotions while getting told 57 things from, you know, Aunt Susie about how to ride bulls. It's like,
yeah, I bet you get all the information.
I mean, we all went out there. Well, it's like we all went out there and we really, like, cut our paths and we went rodeoing. But, you know, the rodeo season, generally speaking, you drive 6 hours, you rodeo, you drive some more, you go to sleep. Like, there's not really a whole lot of time to really, like, dive into. There's not a whole lot of just dead time to just lay around and think, you know? Well, the NFR, especially for these rookies, most of them don't have a whole lot of sponsors. They don't have stuff going on all day long. Like, you want to talk about a snowball effect?
Absolutely.
It starts going good. Yeah, you're on, you know, cloud nine and never coming down. But, yeah, it starts out a little rough, and then all this outside stuff starts dwelling on you, bringing you down even farther. And, you know, before you know it, guys are trying to freaking change everything that they've done all year long and got them in the top 15 to try to just figure out how to ride one. And it's, It is. It's definitely, it's interesting to see how everybody handles the NFR, because, I mean, really, it's like after about the first round, you can tell who's going to be successful and who's not.
Yep.
I mean, it's so good to hear you talk the old veteran, because I've known you since you were just a pup, and now
he still is.
You know, I got to tell you, my son, I just left Alabama to come over, you know, come out here and talk to you, and he's like, well, yesterday they were having comparisons or something, and at school, I don't remember what it was about, and he says, well, I just want y'all to know that I beat the 6-time world champion in a game of Madden football. Blake this summer, he was laughing so hard. Blake Hodges and Reed the same way. That's what I love about you, man. You always been with my kids. It didn't matter. You always spend that extra time and that catch you smile. That's winner.
So – Well, let me add to that. Just to say, we're getting all emotional here with Robbie talking about his boy. You know, my son, same way, he's met you quite a few times, Sage, and you got to hang out some things that we've done with the NFR and production and media. And you know, every night I come home, you know, he's up and he'll always ask, how did Sage do? You know, because he has all the ability to check and find out, but he doesn't, right? So every night come home, how did Sage do? Well, he did pretty good, T.
Yeah.
He did pretty good. He's doing well. I think he might have this bad boy this year, you know, and like whatever it is, but always asking. And, you know, I tell you, Sage, if anything that you're doing, and we'll transcend into this, you know, about the Las Vegas thing, but you have taken the bar, put it to another level. And I think this is something maybe, I'm just guessing, but you've had a vision of yourself being where you're at right now, back when you won your first gold. And, you know, it's transcending the sport now. To the point where here we are, 2020, got a whole new decade ahead of us. Yep. You just got done wrapping up 6 buckles. What do you have for yourself for 2020? Are you still sticking on the same path? Are you changing some things? What's going on for this year? What are you doing to get back?
Well, first off, I appreciate the nice words from both of you guys about the kids. And that was one thing. I mean, it's not that my motivation's ever been like lacking, but the thing is, like, you have to always find stuff that really pushes you, right? And like for me, it is. It's like looking back on it. Well, it's not about money anymore, because I mean I've made a decent amount of money. Like I don't ride bulls for the money, but it is like for me every time I see a young kid, you know, that, well, the old cliche, don't meet your heroes because you'll be disappointed.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Like, I just don't want that to be me, right? Because and I had the same exact thing happen to me. I mean, I met several of my heroes growing up, and I was like, wow, you know, how could I have ever wanted to emulate that guy? But, so that's, like, the number one thing for me is definitely, like, I refuse to let myself be that guy. And then, for 2020, it's just exciting stuff. And, I mean, it's a lot of the same. Just rodeo hard, you know, get to the NFR. Obviously, this one will be a little different because I will be changing my marital status.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know, and I'm super excited about getting married, too. I mean, if I couldn't tell you, I mean, that's probably going to be the highlight of the year, no matter how successful the year is in rodeo. So it's
good for you. I'm really excited about that.
Well,
yeah, they're pretty special for sure.
I know one's a fan for sure.
Yeah, you know, and what I discovered, we got to hang out with Alexis, we got to hang out with Randy, and what I discovered, there's a team going on there, you know, with all y'all, and it's not just about your success, about all their success, and it seems like you guys share that. Like, it's not, nobody's greedy worrying about who's getting what, you know, you guys are all in this together, and what I like about that is that when you get married, I think it just transcends what you've already been doing. So it's not like something new, you know, Alexis came out of the blue and all of a sudden is disrupting Sage's success. No, she's been there since day one, man. And, you know. Right.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's the thing. I mean, you hear, you know, some of the older guys with some experience with some bad relationships, you know, oh, don't get married. That woman will just ruin you. It's like, well, yeah, a bad woman will ruin you.
Yeah,
100%. True. I mean, no question.
Meghan Markle.
the people you're around, I mean, they're either going to bring you up or bring you down. That's one thing. One thing about Alexis is she's and her family, they've always been in my corner. Alexis says she's the greatest teammate that I could ever ask for. And yeah, no, it's exciting.
That's good stuff.
Well, on that note, Sage, I got to tell you, thank you for coming on the show. I mean, nothing but love for you, man. Glad you got that sixth gold buckle. Hope to add a seventh. Be watching. And, yeah, congratulations on the engagement. Look forward to the wedding. It's a lot of fun. Got to do it about 20 years ago. It's great. And you're right. You got to marry the right woman. And if you do that right, then everything's right.
Yeah, yeah. And thanks for the shout-out to my kids. They're going to be so tickled when they hear this. Because, you know, hey, you know what? We're fans. And not just – we don't just go dig you out, but we're fans of yours. And I wish you the best. And there's sky's the limit, dude. And I'll see you on the road here pretty quick.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. And good chatting with you.
You bet. Thank
you. All right, Sage. Thank you, man.
Looking for tickets to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo? StubHub is the official secondary and fan-to-fan site of the rodeo. Fans can buy and sell their tickets through a safe and secure online marketplace. Visit nfrexperience.com.
All right, Robbie, here we are, man. We're lining them up, knocking them down, right?
Yes, I can't wait. This is going to be great. My daughter's going to be very proud. Carly's going to love this interview because what a sweet, cool girl. You know,
yeah.
I'm a fan.
So I believe we have an average winner here. Is that right, Triple B?
Second place average.
Yes. Okay.
Two go arounds. Her very first time at the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. Two go around winners.
Collecting checks. Well, who we're talking about is barrel racer, first time NFR back in 2019, Emily Miller. Emily, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. We're glad to talk to you a little bit about this because, like I said, I've got a barrel racer, and she went to her first rodeo this week, first pro rodeo at Lafayette, and actually placed. So you'll get to see her. She'll be very excited about this interview, I promise you.
Oh, awesome. That's outstanding.
So, Emily, let's get right to it. How was it getting to the NFR? How was that feeling? What were some emotions that you can recollect getting there and being able to ride at your first NFR? What was going through your head?
Gosh, it's kind of hard to describe, to be totally honest. I mean, we got to Vegas December 1st, and you pop that hill and see the town all lit up. It's a little different than flying in on a plane when you're coming in with a truck and trailer and knowing that you're fixing to, make your dreams come true that week. And I don't know. I mean, you prepare as much as you can and have as much faith and confidence in your horse. But, that whole experience is just, it's overwhelming in such an amazing way. There's just not really any way to describe hearing 17,000 fans scream as you turn the third barrel. And, to have it go our way, to have such a good first NFR was, that was just icing on the cake.
Yeah, what was that like, that first victory? Because I remember my first day at the whole deal of the NFR, my first time I rolled the barrel out there. What was it like leaving there knowing, wait a minute, I've done this all year long, and my very first round of the NFR, I won? Explain that.
I think I was in shock. I'm not going to lie. They captured a really cool picture while I was doing the victory lap, and I think my smile was, it was ear to ear. That right there pretty much was proof as to how excited I was about it. I'm so proud of that horse. I mean, I was trying to go make the best run I could and let the chips fall where they may and to get the win. I just, it was unreal. I mean, it really was. It was so exciting. I got to go downstairs and interview with one of my good friends, Janie, right off the bat, and everybody's just giving you hugs and high fives and so supportive. And it just, it really was pretty exciting. I think it even brought some tears to my dad's eyes. So that was kind of cool.
Good for you. That is great.
So let's talk about the horse, because I want to mention this horse walks into the arena.
I noticed that.
Like walks.
Yeah.
Like
a pleasure class like a, going
yeah,
to.
Yeah. Patiently walks.
Yeah. Head collected and all.
He really does. I don't know how to describe him other than he is just truly a gift from God and one in a million. But, that horse is a competitor. I call him Chongo. He just turned 10. He was 9 while I was competing on him at the NFR. But, he does. He loves it. He loves running barrels. We really developed together as a team. I've had him a little over 2 years now. And it's taken us a little bit. I mean, we weren't just a match made in heaven right off the get-go. We kind of had to adapt our styles. And, and work together. You know, that took some time, and it took some willingness for sure on his end, but he's such an athlete, and it's so easy for him. You know, it's just, it makes it a lot of fun for me, because I gotta let him go to his spot, stay out of his way, and he pretty much takes care of the rest. And he's, you know, he's just unique in the sense too that he's so quiet, you know, just in and out of the arena. And that's kind of a rare quality for a barrel horse.
Yeah, it is. I have to hold those every once in a while, and you use a thumb usually goes with you in the bridle.
Well, it's funny how that sticks out, because I know that was being talked about on the broadcast, and kind of just like, oh, just look at the demeanor of the horse, which I think it comes across as you, because you guys all seem to be connected. Your horse, you have a great demeanor, Emily. I mean, you really do.
Yeah.
And so,
well, thank you.
Yeah. So how, let's pick a moment, right? Because I think you got two that you can say that was definitely something that you can put up on a pedestal. But what was one of your moments during that run that really sticks out, that you're like, man, and not to say that's going to be your last moment, but just that was 2019's moment. What's one that sticks out in your head?
When I came down the alley as I was exiting the arena, you know, I turned that third barrel and, you know, asked him for everything he had running out. And then I saw my friend Jana. And Jana, she was a girl in the alleyway with me, Jana Turner. And she was actually my babysitter growing up. We've stayed very, very good friends.
Nice.
All the way through, yeah, we're super, super close. She's going to be in my wedding and everything this year. And so to see her, she was fist bumping and jumping up and down, like she was like a dang jackrabbit down there in the arena. And I've never exited the arena and done a fist bump. And I saw her doing it, and I did it, and it was just so exciting, like, you know, see that time clock up and know that we'd just taken over the lead. And to do so, having the top six in the world running in front of us, you know, I mean, and of course, all 15 there are outstanding women, but, you know, the reigning world champion had already competed and stuff. And so we, you know, we stood a good chance at our time, you know, staying towards the top. And so that was pretty exciting.
I bet. How was it watching the other times? Because like I was just telling you earlier, my daughter and I went to Lafayette a couple of days, a week ago, and we were sitting there and we were watching every one of them. Well, that one beat me. Well, that one beat me. Do you do that too? I mean, or were you wondering what was coming up?
You know, I don't know. I think, I tell you what, the 15 women that were there are just such outstanding people. They're, you know, we were all there pulling for each other, encouraging one another in it. Like, I got out to the warm-up arena, and Lisa Lockhart was winning the round at that point. And, you know, she's the first person to come tell me good job.
That's awesome.
And that lady has been to the NFR 13 times. And for her, you know, she's somebody I've idolized since I was little. And so for her to come up to me and tell me good job, and I'm great friends with Ivy Conrado, now Sabins, and Haley Kinsel Lockwood, and, you know, and they're the same way. They're sitting there telling me good job and cheering me on. And you know, the girls that had already maybe left the arena were texting me later and whatnot. It's just, you know, I think at that point we all have so much respect for one another. We are just genuinely happy for our horses to go out there and show what they are capable of. And, you know, Chongo is, he really is. I think the world of that horse. And I know, you know, my competitors have a lot of respect for him too. So for him to go out and get that win was just really neat.
That's great.
How was Vegas for you? You know, clearly you've been, probably since 2013 had a vision of you making Vegas, right? Now you're there. What did you do besides, you know, we're only talking about 2 hours out of the night. So there's another 22 that you got to fill up in Vegas. So what were some things that you did, or where'd you stay? And
There wasn't a lot of sleep involved. I can promise you that. I definitely was a frequent flyer at Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to survive the day. We were everywhere from, you know, the convention center to the Rio to Mandalay Bay. You know, I had signings all over Vegas that I was attending and whatnot. And that took really several hours of the day. You know, you between requirements from sponsors and you know, our association, the WPRA, had us do signings up at the Golden Nugget. And then at the convention center, and I went and helped with the Exceptional Rodeo. I think it was maybe the morning of the fifth round.
Yep.
You know, so there was a lot of activities to do. I did schedule one day off that I was like, okay, I'm going to try to spend this day with my family. So we went up to Fremont Street, and they were all not very thrilled with me, but I had bought those tickets for the Superman zipline.
Nice. Oh, boy.
So we went and did the Superman zipline, and it was fantastic. Everybody had a blast, and so they were a little happier with me at the end of it. But we were going up the stairs. Promise, I wasn't their favorite person. That's really that's about the only Vegas thing we got to do. I didn't stay at a casino or anything. I stayed right close to the arena, just to make it a little more convenient for my horses and myself as far as going to interviews or practice or the rodeo in the evenings and whatnot. Less traffic. I'm a small town girl, but Vegas traffic, that got the best of me.
Yeah, no, it gets the best of everybody, so I promise you.
How did your horse make it, while you were, was there anything different, or did you try to keep him near the trailer, or, what do you do? Because I know that's a big thing. There's a lot of different horses there, and I know they travel all year, but how many did you bring out here, actually?
I had three with me, mm-hmm. And I rode my mare in the seventh round, Foxy, and then I had a young horse out there too that I call him Bo, and he is very capable of running. I just I brought him if I needed him, but I was hoping to be able to just stay on the other two, and I was. And we kept him about 5 miles away from the Thomas and Mack, and a nice facility, but they could rest and stuff. And I have a good friend, Darby Fox. She took care of him. And then my dad was out there cleaning stalls, as well as my old rodeo coach from Garden City, Jim Boy Hash.
It was
a team effort. There's a lot of people involved in making this happen and making sure everybody was where they needed to be. And Jana, she was driving me around, and she'd try to drop me off at the door of one of the convention centers I was going to and pick me up when I was done. And so it was a lot of planning involved. I guess, and trying to coordinate everybody and make it as simple as possible, but it was still very busy. There wasn't a lot of downtime.
That's great, and it's good to hear you talk about other people. It's not just you. It's a combination out here.
It's a team.
And that's
absolutely
kind of speaks to your personality to give other people the credit for that, too.
Yep.
Sure. Oh, I couldn't have done it without them.
So let's go into this aggregate winning second. But that's a pretty impressive win on your first trip to the NFR.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm not going to lie. That one probably surprised me the most.
Really?
I will be totally upfront and honest with the fact that Chongo and I typically aren't the most consistent duo, going down the road. We're kind of more hero or zero. We're, going for the win, or we hit a barrel trying.
Nice.
And so I really was surprised when I had made that many clean runs on him and there. I mean, he was super honest and, stayed really strong for me throughout the rodeo. That last round, I kind of had a decision. I felt like if I did catch a barrel, I was going to, the worst case scenario, I'd drop one spot in the average. But if I did go out and win the round, I could win the average, and I had a chance at winning the world. There was a lot of things that had to happen, but, anyway, I thought, well, how many times are you in this position that you've got one run left and you've got a chance to go win it? And so we did. We gunned for it in that final round and caught a barrel. I still ended up staying second. I was second coming into the finals in the average and still came out even with the barrel second. So I didn't really lose anything there. So I felt like it was justifiable to go for it and see what happened. But, I never really dreamed coming in that I'd be in that position. You want to go out and do as good as you can. But the horsepower and the girls you're running against is pretty tough.
I imagine you feel that.
I was very excited with the outcome of everything. It was a lot more than I anticipated.
So, Emily, we were talking to Sage Kimsey right before this, and he had touched on, just like you just alluded to, that there's a wedding in this year.
Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way.
His sister is in my wedding. So
what?
We're good friends with the Kimseys.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Small world.
Yeah. Right on. And we got a good pharmacist when we need it now, don't we? So.
Yeah.
Do you live near them and over that way? I guess you're close to them all. That's cool.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we college rodeo together. I was just in her wedding. She got married October 12th. That's part of why my wedding's not till this October, because she was getting married last October.
Trying to one-up you.
Who knew?
Yeah, we decided to wait.
No, so, that's great.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Has she ever put you on a trick-riding horse, made you do a vault or anything?
No, thank goodness. it. Because he has made me hold the ribbon.
I told you today, I said, yeah. I'll guarantee you, six-time world champion and Trey Kimsey have both. She don't care how many times they won. Everybody like over there holds a ribbon, don't they?
Yep, dang right we do. Or
yeah.
Usually I'm in charge of the pony, too.
That a girl.
I kind of like a lickety-split.
Yep, she doesn't put you down there at the end where you get whacked. That's for Trey, I'm sure.
No, right.
You know exactly.
Yeah, that's for Trey.
So, Emily.
Yeah, we reserve that spot for him.
Let's go back to your 2019 run, because I think there's some numbers here that stick out pretty well, not just that 54,000. So your season earnings, and correct me if I'm wrong, $255,798, right? That's a lot of money. But then your NFR earnings are $157,653. You had a pretty good time in Vegas. What does Vegas mean to you now?
Oh my God. I mean, it's life changing, you know, it really is. Yeah. To get to pursue our dream and, you know, do this with an amazing horse. I mean, that's every barrel racer's goal in life. You know, but to go out there and have the success we have and come home with that kind of money in our pocket. I mean, it's unreal. You know, I'd sure like to get to go back. That much I can promise you.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
You know, Vegas was, it was good to us. We had a great time. You know, it was so much more than I expected. And you know, my horse is a fan of it. And so, as long as I can keep him good and healthy and whatnot, I mean, we're going to try to see the bright lights again this year. You know, that's the plan. So
I got
to
ask you this: at the NFR, do most girls, I mean, how often since, you know, I don't know about the scamper days and stuff, but do a lot of girls swap a horse, at least give them an off night, or do some of them run all 10, or how does that?
Oh, man, I don't think
It depends. I mean, you know, when I went out there, I had a plan to ride Chongo for the first four nights, and then I was going to switch in the fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
That was my itinerary, you know, but when I went round four, and I mean, he's doing it pretty easy. You know, it wasn't hard on him. Like, it's not like, I mean, time-wise, but I mean, like, his body, his mentality, like, he was handling Vegas really well. And so I felt like he was, you know, staying sound and everything was good. I didn't really need to make a switch at that point. I went ahead and switched in the seventh to give him a night off because he did tweak his back just a little bit the night before. He just kind of got outside the rut and you know, and he wasn't bad, but he was sore enough. I felt like, you know, he'd earned a night off, and that mare deserved a chance to run. So good. That was my decision to go ahead and switch. But, you know, a lot of those girls, I mean, like, you know, Haley and Ivy, I mean, they've stayed on those mares. I think last year in 2018, Haley got off of Sister in the 10th round because she'd already had the NFR1 at that point. You know, but, like, when you're looking around and Nellie Miller's staying on her world champion horse Sister and Shelly Lord, she's staying on Can Man. I mean, it made it kind of hard to vary from the past because, you know, these horses, they're just, to me, that goes to attest what athletes they are and competitors they are to maintain that kind of schedule and just get stronger as the week goes on. You know, Jessica Routier's mare, I mean, I think every run she got better. And that's a shout out to our horses and the caliber of horsepower there.
So let's talk preparation. How did you prepare coming in for this arena setup? I mean, it's small.
And you never see a barrel.
Yeah.
And you never see a barrel. No. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty blind. You know, I was fortunate growing up. We had a little rodeo arena about 45 minutes from the house, that Lakin indoor arena that the Jennings family owned and ran, and they would have little Birch's rodeos for us. And so from the time I was 8 years old, I was running on a 13-second pattern. You know, they had a whole series all winter long from every year for as long as I can remember. You know, I got to go over there, and then when I went to college, I rodeoed at Garden City Community College my first 2 years, and then Southwestern Oklahoma State my junior and senior year, and that's all in the Central Plains region, and we ran on 11, 12, 13-second patterns for a few of our rodeos. You know, there's out of the 10, I know four of them at the time I was competing were all on pretty tiny indoors.
Wow.
So, that was good preparation. I just say life experience as far as that goes. I was fortunate to have some experience in those kind of setups.
Right. Are you entering anywhere now? Did you take a little time off? I mean, have you been to Denver or what?
I did. I went to Denver. I didn't have any luck at Denver this year, but That was my first one back. I'm headed down to Fort Worth tomorrow for the shootout. Oh, nice. So that's exciting. Yeah, I get to go to the shootout, and then I'll be back down there again the next week for the rodeo.
So I gave
Chongo a month, and then we're going to go and get started. I skipped Odessa and San Angelo and stuff and Lafayette and some of those just to give. We're all ready to be home.
Right. I'm glad you skipped Lafayette. That's a weak place. Yes. No, that's
hard. I've never been to that one, but
no, that's okay.
Someday, but I'm glad your daughter did well.
Well, thank you very much.
How many rodeos? How many rodeos are you looking at this year, Emily?
Oh, you never know. I mean, it kind of depends how well you're doing. I think I had 40 or 48, 49 done by Calgary last year, and I was pretty comfortable with where I was sitting. But I came home and I took my young horse and seasoned him. I had the opportunity to go to quite a few rodeos and get him a little more solid, so that way, you know, if I do have to rely on him, he's ready to go. And so that's kind of the route, you know, I choose to take. I mean, I know a lot of girls, once they've got it made, they go home and don't go anymore. And I mean, everybody's different. I'm just fortunate to be a couple deep as far as horses go. And I've usually got a young one that he needs the miles put on him. So I'm not afraid to do it.
Did you feel like you were?
Yeah, that's what we did.
Were you nearly as competitive with your second stringer, I guess? I don't want to call him second stringer because it's really not. It's actually, and you placed
future.
Enough?
Future,
yeah.
Yeah, like my young horse won the Colorado State Fair. That's a pretty big rodeo there in Pueblo. I was tickled. Yeah, I was tickled with him. And, you know, I mean, he shows a lot of promise, but the only way to get him there is giving that opportunity. And, you know, naturally when I'm running the bigger rodeos, I mean, I'd rather stay on the one that, you know, I know has been there, done that, and has the experience behind him. But it's nice to know that one, you know, the younger one is just as capable and is showing that, you know, with the opportunity that he can do the same. So I'm excited for him.
That's good. I really do
think that horse is going to be a big help to Chongo this year.
That's good.
Getting him some relief. And
oh, absolutely. Did you go to Pendleton? I got to ask this. Did you go to Pendleton this year?
I haven't. The only time I went to Pendleton was the 2017 when I was on the bubble.
I got you.
That's part of the rodeo count.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know if you ran old Chongo there or not, but that's a 20.
No.
Was an hour and a half pattern.
Like a football field, basically.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
If the Thomas and Mack was that size, they wouldn't be running their same horse all 10. I promise you, because you'd be running about 70 miles in 10 days. It's a mile around.
And Chongo's I'm not doing this.
No, I don't blame you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's that's quite an experience. I think every barrel racer should do it once. I don't know if you need to do it twice, but once just to say you did it.
Oh, absolutely.
So is the Thomas Mack, this is kind of like more of a general rodeo question, is the Thomas Mack Center probably the most intimate, tight, when we talk about barrel racing or steer wrestling, any of them, but like,
it does. It feels pretty enclosed.
Yeah.
It really does. Now the height wise, you look up and you see people for days clear up to the top. But as far as like the arena floor itself, it does. And it gets smaller every round.
Wow.
Now it gets smaller every round. How does your horse act as you went around? I mean, you said you usually kind of have to watch your barrels, but you got lucky this time. What's his style typically throughout the year?
Well, that's it. Whenever we had practice, I would take him in, and instead of doing the barrels on him, I would take him to the far end and show him the fence and show him the outer perimeter of the arena and like almost like untrain him on the barrels and be like, look, it is okay to go down and check out this back end, you know, and give yourself some room and keep kind of, it's just, you almost had to use a little bit reverse psychology on those horses to keep them from wanting to turn so much.
Yeah.
And so every day that was pretty important. I felt like that we were able to get in there and kind of free those horses up a little bit and keep them quiet.
So, I mean, like coming out of that shoot, it's literally, bam, right in front of you. There's everybody. Oh my God, first barrel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right away, you got to get it, right? I mean, is that where you felt after that first night? Like, okay, I kind of know what this thing's going to be right now.
Sure, yeah, it comes quick. It's like a blink of an eye, and you're at the barrel. It's time to turn. You know, luckily, Chongo's not typically one that ever wants to miss the first barrel. You know, he's got it pretty dialed in. And so my job was just to actually make sure I got him all the way to it. And as crazy as that seems, as quick as it comes up, like that was our biggest challenge was making sure that, you know, I gave him enough room so that way he could maneuver and turn correctly without getting too close.
Yeah, it's like six strides to the first barrel after the clock. Yeah.
I don't even know.
I was going to say, maybe four.
I mean, from the door.
Three
yeah.
and a half.
Yeah, you're like at 3 seconds before they get there. I mean, it's I don't know. I watch every night, and it's intense.
I know our second barrel picture, it says we're at the second barrel at 5.0.
Yep.
Goodness
that's
gracious.
The second barrel picture. Almost everyone I've got says I was at 5.0. So that tells you how quick that's happening.
Back to stats.
I was going to say, back totally to stats. Is.
Always.
You actually stayed right around 13-6, yep. Almost six rounds.
Yeah, that's...
He was consistent. He liked that 63, 64, 65 area really well. Yeah.
Well,
that's good.
I wasn't upset about it. That was a good time.
Yes, it was.
Well, now that we're here in 2020, obviously you have much goals of getting back. We hope nothing but love for you. We know that this road to the NFR is not an easy one. And Fallon Taylor in the past has pointed out to you, you just don't go to the NFR. You got to make the
make
NFR.
It, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah, it is. It's a tough road. And it's a great road. It's worth every memory, every heartache to get there. It really is. I mean, there's times that you question whether it's worth it, but I promise it is. It's definitely worth it. And I'm excited, you know, hopefully give it another go and see if we can do it again.
I guarantee you. I don't have any trouble believing that.
Yeah. I'm not going to guarantee it because, man, I don't want to jinx you.
But golly, yeah. What a class act, too. That's pretty good for your first one. There's a lot of people that wish they did that.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. Well, Emily, thank you for coming on the show.
You're a sweet girl. Thank you so much. We enjoyed that.
Great time getting to know you.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Hope to see you on the road.
Yeah, good luck. And, you know, we'll be looking for you come December.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
All right. Bye, Emily.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the NFR Extra podcast. And make sure to give us a rating and review on wherever you listen to NFR Extra. For more information regarding the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, visit NFRExperience.com and follow Las Vegas NFR on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube.
NFR Extra.
All dirt.
All rodeo.
All year. Gotta make it out to Vegas, where the big boys roam. And the racers and the bulls and the browns and the ladies in the skin tight wranglers and the cowboy hats.